Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Today, we have the latest on the Omicron variant of COVID-19 found in California and advice from San Diego County's Health Department to help protect you and your family over the holidays. In a surprise announcement, leaders of SANDAG, including mayors of San Diego, National City, and Encinitas, have dropped their support for a controversial mileage tax opposed by many in East County. Now they say they'll be asking SANDAG's directors to come up with an alternative way to fund the ambitious regional transportation plan. San Diego State University has announced a partnership with Sequan for the new Aztec Stadium, soon to open in Mission Valley. Shabbat of East County held a menorah lighting at El Cajon last week to usher in the start of Hanukkah. Despite the congregation's rabbi being diagnosed with COVID-19, and we'll have details. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld California's ban on high-capacity gun magazines, and we'll have reactions from both supporters and opponents. As our economy emerges from the pandemic, labor strikes are on the rise in California and nationwide. Learn more on today's show. And then from Public News Service, we'll have some national news stories, including how Congress averted a government shutdown and why some major airlines are canceling flights. On the Yonder Report, we'll have news on rural poverty, efforts to bring federal funds to rural areas, and yet another court challenge to abortion access. The San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra is returning to live performances, and on the second half of our show today, as a special treat, we'll be bringing you their presentation of Vivaldi's Gloria. So stay tuned to the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, where East County matters.
The first case of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been detected in Northern California in a traveler from South Africa. First identified in November, the new strain has already been found in several nations. Although no cases of the Omicron variant have been detected in the San Diego region, the county and the local medical community are regularly monitoring the Omicron variant using genome sequencing. San Diego County's Deputy Public Health Officer, Dr. Cameron Kaiser, says while there is a lot not yet known about the new Omicron variant, for now, the same precautions we've been advising for other strains of COVID-19 should help prevent or lessen the likelihood of people getting and spreading the Omicron variant, as well as the Delta, which is still the dominant strain. The county is also working with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the California Department of Public Health to review recommendations when the variant arrives in the region. To protect against all varieties of COVID-19, including the Omicron variant, county health officials urge the public to get vaccinated and get a booster if you qualify. Boosters are available to everyone age 18 and up, provided it's been at least 2 months after receiving a Johnson & Johnson vaccine or 6 months after a second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. Vaccines are available at healthcare providers, retail pharmacies, and community clinics. You can also call 833-422-4255 or visit myturn.ca.gov to make an appointment at a location near you. County health officials also advise wearing a mask, especially in public indoor settings, regardless of vaccination status. Get tested if you have any symptoms, whether you've been vaccinated or not. You can make a free test appointment or find a walk-in test clinic at coronavirus.sd.com. Wash your hands frequently, stay home if you're sick, and distance yourself from others. Nearly 85% of San Diegans age 5 and up have now received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, and 75% are fully vaccinated. Over 5.5 million doses of the vaccine have been administered, as well as more than 500,000 booster shots. In the last week of November, 21 people died of COVID-19 locally, and 19 of those were unvaccinated. 622 people were hospitalized with COVID during the same time period, and only 20 of those were fully vaccinated. The rest, 602, were unvaccinated or only partially vaccinated. Further evidence that vaccines are effective at dramatically reducing the risk of serious illness or death from COVID-19. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Elijah McKee.
On December 10th, the San Diego Regional Association of Governments, or SANDAG, Board of Directors will consider the proposed regional transportation plan. But a per-mile tax proposed earlier to fund the plan's ambitious goals has run into strong opposition from residents and political leaders in East County, as we've previously reported. Critics have complained that the proposed per-mile tax on motorists would unfairly burden residents who lack access to transit, many of them in economically disadvantaged communities. Although Sandag did vote in late October for the tax, on December 3rd, Sandag's leaders, in a surprise announcement, said they plan to ask Sandag staff to provide funding alternatives for the regional transportation plan that would not rely on a county-imposed road usage tax, otherwise known as a mileage tax. This effort is being led by San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria, Encinitas Mayor Catherine Blakespear, and National City Mayor Alejandro Sotelo Solis. Mayor Blakespear, the chair of Sandag's Board of Directors, says it's very important that this county have an updated transportation plan that is cleaner, greener, and faster while reducing climate warming emissions. How we pay for the plan is a critical part of the analysis. But, she adds, at this time, the local road usage charge as a replacement for the gas tax remains highly speculative, with very few details available about how it would work or be applied in a fair way. I am concerned that the road usage charge could saddle residents with large and unsustainable cost increases for their basic transportation needs before substantial improvements in public transit have made transit a viable choice for most trips. Although she supports adopting a transportation plan that is compliant with state law by the year-end deadline, she says, we can and should have a visionary, historic green transportation plan without the road usage tax. San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria, the vice chair of Sandag's Board of Directors, agrees, and he says, I have long supported Sandag's regional transportation plan as it aligns with my vision of giving San Diegans more sustainable ways to get around our region. However, the inclusion of a road usage tax charge is unnecessary, and we will be asking Sandag staff to find alternative sources of funding. Echoing the sentiments of East County leaders, Mayor Gloria adds, while I understand the principles behind a road usage charge, our region has not done nearly enough to expand access to public transit. Residents must have feasible and accessible transportation alternatives other than a car for a road usage charge to be effective. With working families still reeling from the economic impacts of the pandemic, and given that this charge is not necessary for this bold transportation plan to be successful, it is the wrong thing to ask San Diegans to consider or even conceptualize at this time. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego State University has announced that its inaugural founding partner at the new Aztec Stadium in Mission Valley will be the Sequan Band of the Kumeyaay Nation and Sequan Casino Resort. As part of this agreement, when the stadium opens in fall 2022, both the Piers location and the Founders Club will bear the Sequan name. The Piers, inspired by the coastline of San Diego, includes a section that juts out toward the field and will provide fans with a view of the action that is exclusive to the venue and will be instantly recognizable as Aztec Stadium. The Sequan Piers will also feature 10,000 square feet of space with standing room for 500 individuals, three bars, and a concession stand. The Sequan Founders Club is designed as an exclusive hospitality area comprising four Founders Suites and 48 Founders Club seats for year-round access to every event in the stadium with a premium menu and hosted bar. During an event at the site in mid-November, SDSU President Adela De La Torres said, "This is an extraordinary investment on behalf of the Sequan Band in our university and in San Diego, especially given the importance this site has for our entire region." San Diego State Director of Athletics John David Wicker called the Sequan Band of the Kumeyaay Nation great community partners on campus and in the community. As part of the new partnership, a tribute to the Kumeyaay Nation will be displayed inside the stadium. Season tickets for the 2022 Aztecs football season in the new stadium will go on sale to the general public in January. If you would like updates on ticket availability, you can sign up for more information at aztecstadium.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Marie Johnson.
Even the most well-thought-out plans can be derailed by a last-minute change, especially when a leader falls ill. Chabad of East County faced a daunting challenge when Rabbi Rafi Andrusier and his wife, Chaya, tested positive for COVID-19 just one day before a public menorah lighting was scheduled at El Cajon Civic Center to celebrate the first night of Hanukkah on November 28th. Both the rabbi and his wife are vaccinated and have mild cases of COVID. The menorah lighting drew a large crowd 2 years ago, but was skipped last year due to the pandemic, so it was all the more important for everyone to hold the tradition this year. Fortunately, a team of 10 Chabad volunteers pitched in to fulfill the plans for the event, with the rabbi's virtual support. Andrea Schneider, a member of the Chabad who helps organize their events, said volunteers placed a Zoom call and told the rabbi, "We'll take over, just tell us what to do." The event featured a menorah of gratitude, with messages of thanks handwritten on it. A menorah of giving that offered 8 baskets as a chance to fill specific needs of El Cajon families through the Jewish Family Service. A children's craft station to make decorated menorahs, and delicious treats including latkes and jelly donuts from local businesses. Rabbi Rafi's cousin, Mendel, a rabbinical student in Los Angeles, also stepped up and traveled to the event, where he provided a retelling of the Hanukkah story and led prayers. He praised volunteers in the congregation, stating, "It's a wonderful community here. They all really pitched in. They're the ones that really made this happen." With Mendel's assistance, El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells lit the shamash, or helper candle, on the menorah of gratitude. Mayor Wells told the crowd, "We are glad you're kicking off your Hanukkah celebration here in El Cajon. We find it a great honor." Then he wished everyone a blessed holiday season. Later, while local ventriloquist Joe Gandelman entertained the children in attendance, volunteers turned on battery-powered candles that composed the menorah of giving. Donna Moore, a Chabad member and volunteer, said some families in need don't have a way to cook, so instead of asking for food donations, organizers asked for items such as toys, diapers, and children's pajamas. Surrounding the plaza was a separate gathering. Groups of Chaldean Catholic men clustered around tables playing backgammon and card games, a Sunday tradition of theirs. The two groups shared the space peacefully.
Schneider said,
"We don't want to exclude them," adding that Chabad often shares food and trinkets from the event with others. Indeed, an energy of resilience and kindness coursed throughout the evening. Mendel put it into words during his Hanukkah story retelling. He stated, "As Torah teaches, you don't dispel darkness with a stick. You don't dispel darkness with strength. You dispel darkness with light. Even if you have a giant room that's pitch black, all you need is the tiniest flame, the tiniest candle, and it lights up the entire room." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Elijah McKee.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld California's ban on large-capacity gun ammunition magazines, overturning a lower court ruling. Gun rights advocates had taken aim at a 2016 law and a similar ballot initiative passed overwhelmingly by the state's voters in an effort to reduce mass casualties from assault-style weapons. The appellate court's majority opinion found that the ban on legal possession of large-capacity magazines reasonably supported California's effort to reduce the devastating damage wrought by mass shootings and held the laws to be constitutional. 3 judges, all appointed by former President Donald Trump, dissented from the ruling, stating, "These magazines are lawfully owned by millions of people nationwide." The trio, Judges Lawrence Van Dyke, Patrick Bumate, and Ryan Nelson, further suggested that if applied across the U.S., such a law would, quote, "require confiscating half of all existing firearms magazines in this country." The law and ballot measures upheld by the court were backed by then-Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. Following the ruling, Governor Newsom tweeted, "Weapons of war don't belong on our streets. This is a huge victory for the health and safety of all Californians." From 1982 through November 2021, California had 22 mass shootings, more than any other state in the nation, according to Statista, which defines a mass shooting as an incident in which 4 or more people are killed. Michael Schwartz, executive director of the San Diego County Gun Owners Organization in Santee, issued a statement sharply criticizing the Ninth Circuit Appellate Court's action. "This decision essentially turns hundreds of thousands of people in California into felons for owning normal gun parts," he said, adding, "A magazine is an essential part of a firearm, and firearms are protected by the Second Amendment. The ability to defend yourself should not be limited by an arbitrary restriction put in place for political reasons." Plaintiffs have announced their intention to file an appeal, Associated Press reports. Ultimately, the conservative-leaning U.S. Supreme Court could trigger a final decision on the controversial case. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Marie Johnson.
Labor protests and strikes are on the upswing this fall compared with 2020, when everyone hunkered down as the pandemic closed whole sectors of the economy. According to the Cornell University Strike Tracker, California has seen 60 labor strikes from January to the end of November, and there were 334 nationwide. Sarah Cabezas-Prendergast with the Mount Diablo School Psychologists Association says her union just voted to authorize an unfair labor practices strike because the district has rejected a contract that it agreed to almost 2 years ago.
It's been a long time without a contract, and our members are really irritated, and they're ready to unite and organize and really fight for our fair contract.
A date for the strike has not yet been set. Mount Diablo Unified School District did not respond to a request for comment by deadline, but officials there have said they can't afford to honor the pre-pandemic contract. There have been 4 strikes and 13 labor protests at schools and universities across the state so far this year. They include actions by teachers in Pleasanton and lecturers at the University of California. Cabezas-Prendergast says employers need to keep up with prevailing wages so workers can afford to stay.
It's a matter of time before people start to get mad enough to decide to organize and do something about it. And I think we're going to continue to see this.
Right now, workers have more leverage because the unemployment rates are lower than they've been in decades. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, unemployment nationwide in October stood at 4.6%, down from 14% in April 2020. In California, those unemployment numbers stand at 7.3%, down from a high of 16% during the lockdowns. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 3rd, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. A new report shows despite getting billions of dollars from the federal government under the American Rescue Plan, many airlines continue to interrupt travelers' plans with cancellations, and they are slow to issue refunds.
When the pandemic hit in early 2020, air travel in the U.S. and across the world almost completely stopped. But in recent months, as the airlines begin to add flights, customers are complaining of multiple canceled and delayed flights, denied refunds, and customer service failures. Diane Brown heads the Arizona PERG Education Fund, which issued the report. She calls it outrageous that the airlines took taxpayer funds but refused to deal fairly with their customers.
The airline industry has been short-staffed, and that has caused consumers to have flight cancellations that often have a rippling effect.
Airlines blamed air traffic control, inclement weather, computer outages, and a lack of available flight crews for stranding or delaying passengers. Mark Richardson reporting.
CNN reports that Congress averted a government shutdown Thursday evening when both chambers voted to pass a stopgap bill to extend funding through mid-February after party leaders brokered a deal to overcome GOP brinkmanship over vaccine mandates. Final tally on that in the Senate was 69-28. CNN notes the passage of that stopgap bill ahead of the Friday at midnight deadline ended a standoff that had threatened to trigger a shutdown when a small number of Republican senators objected to Biden's vaccine requirements. Connecticut, now among several states working on what the new recreational marijuana industry will look like, a coalition wants to ensure racial justice will be part of it.
The Alliance for Cannabis Equity is a collaboration between ConCorp, a community development organization, and The Workplace, a workforce development group. Connecticut's recreational marijuana law also created a social equity council to ensure communities of color that have seen the disproportionate effects of the war on drugs have equal access to the marijuana business sector. Carlton Highsmith with ConCorp sees the Alliance as an independent group working in concert with the council.
And it would be such a shame if the intent and spirit of the law were not realized because people didn't have information. That, I think, would be the most tragic of consequences. And that's driving us as well to make sure we try to be that authoritative resource guide for the community.
Governor Ned Lamont signed the bill into law in June, making Connecticut the 19th state to legalize recreational marijuana. I'm Emily Scott.
This is PNS. New York State United Teachers released a new report this week It includes recommendations from educators about how best to shape the future of public education in the state.
NYSUT President Andy Pallotta says the union's Future Forward Task Force is suggesting deeper state investments in schools rather than returning students to pre-COVID standards. He says that means doing more to meet students' social and emotional needs by funding more school counselor positions.
Some of the ratios are tremendously high in the state, and we'd love to see those come down in a big way. Like, let's not just make it 1 to 1,000 or 1 to 500. Let's try and get it to 1 to 250 students, 1 to 200 students.
He adds cities in New York could be using leftover federal pandemic relief money to fund these positions in their school districts. Anna-Kayla Savitt reporting.
And Maryland civil rights groups are proposing a lawsuit against Baltimore County there if it adopts its current redistricting plan, claiming the map weakens representation for the area's diverse population.
Ryan Coleman is president of the Randallstown NAACP, which would join with the ACLU of Maryland in suing the county. He says the African-American population in the area has soared to about 30% over the past 10 years, and in some districts to 50%. Yet the potential map packs the black vote into just one district, maintaining a white majority in the other six districts, which the U.S. Supreme Court has counseled against in the Voting Rights Act.
The map that they have drawn will dilute the African-American voting power. And you can't tell me that with 300,000 African-Americans in an 800,000 person county that we can only get one African-American on the council.
I'm Diane Bernard.
California-based facilities are refining half of all the oil drilled in the Amazon rainforest. That's according to a report released Thursday by the groups Amazon Watch and Stand.Earth.
Now, organizations that fight climate change are calling on Governor Gavin Newsom to end oil imports from the Amazon region. Los Angeles City Councilmember Paul Koretz says California should not be a party to the destruction of a region that sequesters a huge amount of carbon and circulates 20% of the world's oxygen.
As the Amazon is being logged, burned, and drilled and converted to other land uses, we're losing more and more of it. And at some point, It could cause climate change to be impossible to reverse.
The oil industry claims these moves will cost the state jobs and tax revenue. I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service member and listener supported. We're heard on great radio stations. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
From the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. It's true, rural America helps feed the world, but people go hungry there too. Many agencies that could help lack the tools needed to reach those populations.
We know that if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, or if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, you have resources that you don't necessarily have out in rural areas.
Matt Levine with the National Foundation to End Senior Hunger says in 2019, more than 5 million Americans aged 60 and over went without meals at some point. That's exacerbated with distance.
When there's 20 miles between houses, it's much more difficult to tackle senior hunger.
The pandemic worsened food insecurity, but Levine hopes lessons learned can reduce food insecure households in future public health emergencies. Funds from the $1 trillion infrastructure package will soon be flowing to states, but it takes money to make money, whether it's having enough grant writers or the funds needed for matching grant requirements. Stateline reporter Aaliyah Wright says local officials are worried they'll miss out.
They didn't know if they should actually go after the funds because of past experiences with trying to get federal money.
The infrastructure bill could provide rural communities with cash to fix crumbling roads and bridges. Wright says officials want help from their state governments to make it so.
Hey, we are a small community in your state. We need help to ensure that we are able to get some of the funds that will be coming to the state.
Consistent polling shows 67% of Americans want abortion to remain safe and legal, so advocates are nervously watching what happens in courts across the country. In Montana's Supreme Court, they will rule on state legislation that prohibits abortions after 20 weeks and bans abortion medication via telehealth and mail prescriptions.
If you think about Montana, that has some rural counties with less than 1,000 people in them.
Martha Stahl runs Planned Parenthood of Montana that has sued to stop the laws from taking effect. The United States has one of the highest maternal mortality rates among developed countries, and death rates are highest in states with the lowest access to abortion. Kate Kagawa of the Susan Wicklund Fund serves those who need reproductive health care. She says further restrictions hit rural populations hardest, and the health issue has become politicized unnecessarily.
Over half of our clients already have children. They come from all political parties.
A new podcast is challenging national stereotypes, the urban versus rural divide.
I'm reclaiming and reframing what rural is that the larger media can't really do.
Megan Torgerson hosts Reframing Rural to help counteract depictions of those living in the countryside versus urban centers.
That didn't resonate with how I grew up or the family or friends that I have in rural areas.
For the Yonder Report and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
You're listening to East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso.
The San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra will return for live performances on December 11th at 3 p.m. at Faith Chapel in Spring Valley. And now we'd like to present a performance of the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra from a prior year, bringing you their presentation of Vivaldi's Gloria.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Iskani Magazine has compiled some important holiday safety tips for you with help from Fire Chief Sam D. Giovanna, our Chief's Corner columnist. Tis the season for hanging holiday decorations. One of the most common causes of holiday time house fires results from those bulbs being too close to gutters filled with dried out leaves. Make sure that strings of lights you're using outside have built-in fuses on the lines. Check the plug and be sure you're using lights designated for outdoor use only. Use Christmas lights and electric equipment that have been tested and verified by a reliable testing laboratory. If you have a string of lights with a blown bulb, be sure to replace it with a bulb of the same wattage. Avoid using nails, tacks, or metal staples to secure your outdoor Christmas lights. Instead, use insulated hooks. Be sure your lights are strung tightly to avoid damage from the wind. Use only outdoor-rated extension cords. Connect no more than 3 strings of lights to a single extension cord, and all plugs should be plugged into a GFCI-protected outlet when used outdoors. Now, if you're using a ladder to put your holiday decorations up, be careful. Don't place the ladder in a muddy location. Watch for overhead wires. When climbing the ladder, use caution and have someone secure the ladder for you. Also, be sure to replace any cords that are worn or frayed, or decorations that are broken or rusted.
Never put candles near your Christmas tree or other holiday decorations. Run tree lights only when you are home, and don't turn on the tree lights if your tree has become too dry at the end of the season. It's also a good idea to place your tree and other holiday decorations a safe distance away from the fireplace. Always put safety first to assure a happy holiday season. You can get more safety tips by visiting the Chief's Corner column at our website, www.eastcountymagazine.org.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.